Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here, and especially with a special guest that I'll introduce in a moment of my collaborators. But we're talking today about adolescent leadership to reduce breast cancer health disparities. I have no financial relationships, commercial interests to disclose. This project is from a pilot initiative, Youth Lead Lawrence, conducted at the Lawrence High School for Health and Human Services. The high school, about 50 miles north of Boston, is 91% Hispanic, with 88% of students speaking English as a second language. And it's a high school devoted to students who have an interest in health and human services. So we're very grateful to the collaborators, the principal at the time the study started, and a project started in 2008, Christine Batty, current principal Michael Fiato, and one of our guests who's here, Diane Davila Colon, who's been very instrumental to the project. She's faculty coordinator for the Health Promotion Club at Lawrence. And that club is actually, we have two other members that are with us today, and that we are very pleased were able to join us. They're definitely the heroes in conducting this project. The Health Promotion Club is an after-school program for peer education, and we have first, though, we'll have a chance maybe in question and answer to talk with these young women. But for some background about Latino breast cancer disparities, breast cancer is the leading cause of cancer death among Hispanic women. It's not the leading cause of incident, it's not a higher incidence in the Hispanic population, but survival is poor. In fact, even for Hispanic women who are diagnosed at the same stage of breast cancer, survival is 20% worse than their white counterparts. And that's a whole nother presentation of some of the factors, but multiple barriers are implicated, certainly in terms of early detection and treatment and care. And it's our premise that language and cultural barriers can improve healthcare access in youth. But why focus on adolescents? I mean, most of the breast cancer outreach to address this population is focused on women age 40 or 50, who are ages where we would want to encourage mammography. Well, there are several reasons. One is that adolescents can shift their attitudes and behaviors more fairly effectively towards a healthier lifestyle and a healthier future. In fact, emerging evidence also shows that reducing certain breast cancer risk factors during development can reduce future breast cancer risk. There was a study just a few weeks ago about adolescent drinking being associated with future breast cancer outcomes. Another reason is that Hispanic youth have also been effective health promoters in assisting their family members and adults in the community to overcome some of the language and cultural barriers and finding information for access and screening. And so some of these in the PowerPoint that we have online, we have references that you can look at. Our project approach was highly collaborative and really driven by the youth, and that helped us in also being culturally appropriate and locally tailored. We found it was also initiated to take advantage of service learning to improve education. The principal had wanted to encourage the project so that the students interested in health could actually be working on issues that are relevant to their families and community. One thing that might be important to you, those of you interested in replicating a project like this, is research that looks at the importance of being positive and hopeful when you're addressing health disparities around cancer. That it seems that the more negative your messaging about the problem of disparity, the less screening may actually occur. And so positive messages about progress that's made and that cancer treatment and prevention can be effective can be more helpful. We start our project with both a literature review and in needs assessment focus groups with groups of students, found perceptions and stigma that may not be familiar to you. Many of the students thought you couldn't survive cancer. That's certainly an obstacle, that there's no prevention or cure. Also an interesting finding, though, where some of the younger students were saying they thought cancer was contagious, and that may be because of, we don't have research on it, but perhaps they did mention the HPV vaccines and vaccines for cervical cancer. So some of the assumptions that we think people have known about cancer, we may have to re-examine in certain populations. We also, the kids did like to learn about the fact that it's not only women who get breast cancer, and in sharing that with their male peers. Cultural barriers, discomfort, talking about body isn't about just cancer, performing self-exams and being examined by a provider are also barriers. And information barriers are also something to overcome about just presenting the breast cancer, the facts about breast cancer, what risk reduction activities one can take, importance of screening and preventive health care for populations that may not be that familiar with prevention, and that cancer treatment can be successful, and how to locate. In Lawrence, there are affordable treatment. It's just not always known. There are obviously a lot of additional barriers, from fear and language to economic hardships, and some were mentioned in previous presentations about being able to have the time to go and get mammograms for women who that is recommended for. In looking at reducing risks, we looked at factors especially pertinent to teens, such as health behaviors that are important to a lot of different kinds of cancers and different kind of health promotion as well. Exercise and diet, avoidance of alcohol, eliminating secondhand smoke exposure if possible. And we did talk about other environmental health factors and the research about ionizing radiation and such. In terms of awareness of some of these, like environmental health concerns, we had a group of, say, about 50 students talking about environmental health. And at first, when we were asking about connections, only about 4 of the 50 really could make a connection with something in the environment that might be linked to cancer. As we worked through some of the classes, they came out with more different factors, some of which are pretty, you know, have a fair accuracy. Pre-test knowledge of screening and detection in our focus group of that was only about 15 students. Less than half knew a mammogram detected breast cancer. Our post-test was 213 students out of the 500 student high school. And you can see that at least the post-test awareness was fairly great. 86% knew that a mammogram is to detect cancer. Influence of age is something also only 93% in our pretest knew that breast cancer actually increases with age. And in our post-test, that still is a problem in that 31% still thought it was affected women younger than 40. But we did seem to see an improvement in knowledge that it is affecting older women, but only 16% are seeing that the older you get, that risk actually increases even more. We developed curricula. We had a 5-day session in a health topics class on breast cancer, and it covered breast cancer basics, prevention, screening, and care, health disparities, environmental health, and doing effective health outreach. And we have that on our website, jsi.com. If not right away, shortly. I haven't checked if it's up quite yet. Our take-home messages was feeling comfortable talking about breast cancer and the importance of detection and treatment, exercise, resources to overcome some of the cultural and linguistic barriers. I'm going to go a little quicker just to get through. We also, though, Ms. Davila Colon was instrumental in having each homeroom do studies as well, using Buena Vida, a Komen curriculum material. It's not actually for adolescents, but we found it's bilingual and plain language. It was very helpful, and they had quizzes on that, and some of those finalists were televised on local school cable. They did a lot of outreach activities, both in school and also to the community. So I want to show you some of the slides the students created, and you can kind of observe yourself some of what was gained. This is the breast at a breast cancer walk. and now they've had their third breast cancer, Wagner-Waugh. They feel that the club is an important to them. It's the third year that the health clubs existed. In this time, it was presentation was made actually last summer, so it's talking about 2 years, but it was actually in its third year now. And they've moved from breast cancer. They also are addressing other health topics. Currently, they have a grant from the National Network of Library of Medicines to address quality online health information that's low literacy, available in English and Spanish, a range of topics. This is the breast cancer walkathon, and some of the favorite things about the walkathon in their eyes was setting up for the outreach materials that they created, fundraising and selling money, roses and things that went to the local YWCA for outreach services to low-income women, what they did to prepare and spread the word, and they created team t-shirts in their homerooms. They had outreach tables. And they also invited significant guests. This is local official, currently Mayor Lantigua, the first Hispanic mayor of Lawrence. He was state representative at the time. They also had bilingual press that reported on the events, and that was another way to get the information out into the community. But it was really getting the students mobilized and walking that was just, you know, they're very excited about, and they keep wanting to do it year after year. We also had, they also invited a lot of local service organizations like the Lawrence General Hospital. So we wanted to give a thank you to Medenis Maria, club president, who is was not able to join us. And that's actually Medenis also. And they went down also to the race for the cure in Boston. That was important to them to see the survivors. And then you have Jennifer, who's with us, Gomez, and Giselle Benedict. I'm sorry, I'm slaughtering your name. But this is a family and community health day where they were giving out bilingual information to 350 families in both English and Spanish, information on quitting smoking, and on MedlinePlus.gov for health information online. They went down in the YMCA in the summer, went down to the local farmers market to do outreach, and that's just some of their activities.